You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Raising the Standard radio broadcast. And we're just blessed to be on this program every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And I'm blessed to have Pastor Jonathan McLean here with me and Tony Bishop. And we're just going to share the Word of God and what God has been showing us. I do want to mention that Pastor Gene is doing well. He's in rehab. He's walking. He walked today without the walker. Hallelujah. And he's just working hard so he can come home. And he's excited to be back on this program with you. He sends his love and his regards. And I thank you all for keeping him in prayer. I want to mention also that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. On Friday nights, Shabbat services at 7 p.m. and on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And I do also want to mention that Purim is coming up, and we've been talking a little bit about Purim and what it's all about and why we celebrate it. It's not one of the holy holidays or holy days or one of the feasts of the Lord, but it is an important time because many things happened during that time, and we can see God's power at work during that time. And also, one thing I wanted to mention was, and I think it kind of fits in with Purim and with what happened with Esther and Mordecai and the king and the people that lived in Persia during that time, because they were in captivity at that time as well, just like they were in Egypt, they were in captivity. But we're doing in the Torah portions this week. I just want to show one part of it because I think it we can see the relationship between what happened when Moses brought the children out after he crossed the Red Sea, and also what happened during Esther's time. And I'm just going to open up here, and you guys, we can all join in. But before I do this, we want to have Chris come, and he's going to share something that's very important that's going on here in the Treasure Coast. And Pastor Jonathan, would you like to talk about
sure.
that in a minute?
Sure. Donna, thank you again. This is a great program, and you all are great listeners to join today, and it is a joy to be able to just link up with Raising a Standard as fellow partners in the kingdom of God, working together as co-laborers here. And Chris Fogel is a part of a band of brothers that just make up what is called the Treasure Coast Business Civic and Ministry Coalition. And there is a pastor's prayer breakfast, Chris. You're joining us by phone, and thank you for joining us. Would you just give us some information about that so people listening will know what is taking place? So they can, if pastors are listening, we'd love for them to be a part of this. And, of course, congregants can talk to their pastors and encourage them to be a part. Chris, welcome.
Yes, well, thank you, first of all, and I'd like to just give praise to Almighty God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that Pastor Gene is walking without a walker. I know what that's like, and so I just thank God for his continued healing. But What I'd like to share with the listening audience is that there's going to be a pastor's prayer breakfast. It will be for 70 pastors on Friday morning, March 23rd, at the Holiday Inn on US 1, which is really midway between Stewart and Fort Pierce. So we believe that this will accommodate the pastors in Martin County, Port St. Lucie, and Fort Pierce. And again, that date is Friday, March 23rd, 7:30 to 9 a.m. There is no charge for the breakfast. It has been paid for by private donors.
Awesome.
That's excellent. And Chris, I know that some are wondering if they would like to get tickets, how they would do that. And I can give the number, a contact number. When the phone is answered, it would probably be by my wife, Rachel, at our church office. And this is not our church that's doing this. It's a community coalition of pastors that's sponsoring it. But we will be able to answer calls and get tickets to people. And that number is 772-215-5945. I'm sorry, that's my personal number. You can call me too. But it's 772-220-0602. Or if you call my personal cell, you can leave me a message. I would also be able to get you tickets. And that's a 772-215-5945. And Chris, I believe you said there may have been a number that they could call you as well.
Yes, they can call me. My office number is in Fort Pierce, 772-461-5511, or they can call me on my cell phone, which is 772-834-5316.
And this is a Treasure Coast Pastor's Prayer Breakfast. This is not for Martin, St. Lucie. It's for the Treasure Coast, both counties, and pastors, senior pastors, as well as maybe a couple pastors that's on staff are welcome to come.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Interesting use having 70. You know, in our reading this Torah reading this week, that mentions the number 70. It mentions that there were 70 palm trees and 12 wells. And, you know, palm trees stand for righteousness. And for men that are righteous, that come into the sanctuary and they want to be righteous, they want to seek holiness, they want to seek truth, and they want to work together. And so, you know, because you have to work together. 70 is a number that's mentioned several times in the Bible. And I think that's interesting.
You brought that up. I was just telling Chris that there were 70 that went up on the mountain.
Yes, there were 70.
With Moses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To receive an impartation.
Yes.
Of the same anointing, so there could be an understanding,
yes,
of God's heart for that season, for that region,
right,
for those people. And I, you know, it just so happened that's what the room would hold. That's the
and
way we ended up with 70
elders, and you know, and sure. Jesus first sent them out 12, but then he sent out 70.
Amen.
So
amen.
You know, 70 is a very important number, and you know, with God, and of course it's times 10. So that's, we weren't going to go into all the numbers and everything, because I like numbers, but
sure, thanks,
it's really
Chris.
A good thing. So, and there were 12
Thank
wells. That's important too, you know?
Yes.
God wants the wells of the anointings of these different ministers to come together, because one person doesn't have everything. We all have something to contribute. So that's really wonderful. But I want to talk here a little bit over here in Exodus 17. You know, they went through the Red Sea, and you know, of course the children of Israel continued to murmur. And, you know, Moses wasn't too happy. He went to God, and you know, God wasn't too happy with him. And people do murmur, and we have to quit murmuring, and we have to get busy and do what God wants us to do. But it says here, the reason I'm going to read this is because it has to do with Abimelech, if I'm pronouncing that right. In verse 9, it says, "And Moses said to Joshua," now we know Moses was getting ready to turn this ministry over to Joshua, because Joshua was going to be the one that was going to go forth, and he had told him to fear not, you know, and we have to write these things down in our memoirs and all. And we need to do that as well, so we remember the good things that God has done for us.
Amen.
Sometimes God does great things for us, and then, you know, something comes along, and we forget what he did. God had done so many things for the children of Israel, and destroyed all of Egypt and the Pharaoh as well. And here they are murmuring again. You know, they complain about water, complaining about food, complaining about all kinds of things.
Of course, none of us have those problems.
No, right? We don't have those problems. We're not like that anymore, right?
No.
Anyways, he's telling Joshua, he says, you go choose some men. Well, are you choosing some men? It's important. And go out and fight with Abimelech tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. That's verse 9 and 17. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Abimelech, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. I think this is going to have to do with us working together, because we can see that Moses needed some help. Moses needed
right.
some help. He didn't go
he
there by himself.
He didn't even understand that.
No, he didn't. And we all need help. We need to hold each other's arms up. And it came to pass when, turn my page, Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Abimelech prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him. He sat on stone, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, that took all day long, mm-hmm. all day long. That was a pretty long battle. And Joshua discomfited Abimelech and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. That's important right there. And rehearse. What is a rehearsal? This is what Purim's about. It's a rehearsal. This is what Passover is about. It's a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And you rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Joshua needed to hear that over and over again. It reminds me of the scripture where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He needed to hear that over and over again, because he was going to be facing a lot of battles. And don't we face a lot of battles in our
we
lives
do.
And in ministry as well. And he says, and I will utterly put out the remembrance of Abimelech from under heaven. Now that's important, because let me go ahead and finish this chapter out. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means what? The Lord is our banner. He's my banner. He's your banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Abimelech from where? From generation to generation. That means it's going to be continually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what happens with Purim. Because Abimelech, Haman, was of the family of Abimelech, which Saul did not destroy. He was disobedient and didn't destroy. So here, this same family is rising up again, and it comes, and of course, it goes all the way back to Esau. So we can see the enemy, which is, he's a picture of Satan. Haman was from the same people, which from Esau. So we can see the same type of people. The enemy is continuing. So we always have a battle, and we have a battle. But Israel has a battle, and their battle is with all these people that, right here, it says from generation to generation. So we can see how this goes on, and we can see what's happening today. Even in the world today, we can see the enemy that wants to destroy the Jews. They want to kill the Jews. And that's why, one of the reasons why this program is here, because we believe in Israel. We believe that the church has not taken over Israel.
Absolutely.
We have not replaced Israel. No, we haven't. God has a plan and a purpose for Israel, and we can see what's happening in the world today. All we have to do is pay attention to the news, because even the things in the natural, we can see what's happening. So, what do you guys want to add anything to that? And I wanted to also mention, we're so blessed to have Tony Bishop with us, and Tony's done a lot of ministry that a lot of people don't even know about. And Tony, I'd like for you to tell them a little bit about some of the things you do with young people, and you work with the high schools.
Well, it is a great privilege for me to be here. I'm very humble and thankful that you all are extending me this opportunity. And I want to make a quick note. When you said that the enemy wants to destroy Israel, I personalize it to know that he also wants to destroy me, and he wants to destroy you.
Absolutely.
He wants to destroy anyone who endeavors to make a proclamation that will stand for truth and righteousness according to what God's word has to say. That having been said, if I may digress just for a quick moment, I'd just like to kind of give you a little overview as to where I've come from, just real quick, because I know we have a short program, and also what I believe that God's put on my heart And I'm excited. I'm excited to be a child of God. When I look at myself in the mirror, you know, the Bible constantly talks about how we are to examine ourselves. Women, we think of women always looking in the mirror, and if you're narcissistic, I think I'm a little bit like that, I have to confess. I like to look at myself in the mirror and make sure that I'm looking good and so on and so forth before I go out into public. But very few of us rarely ever take the time to really examine the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart, as the Bible says, from the heart comes the abundance. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
And we live in a day and age, boy, it takes just but for a moment for you to react and you discover what's in your heart, such as if you're getting out on US 1 or you're getting on 95 and someone does something instantly, and you really have to always be guarding of your heart. And I pray, as for myself, that the word of God is hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against him. I'm one who thoroughly believes that all scriptures are God-breathed, inspired by God himself. And I have seen the word of God alive in my life for the few years that I've been walking with him. It's been about 35 years. And many stumbles, many hiccups along the way, many times where I may have fallen. And I'm just so grateful, in the same way that Moses was used to be picked up, his hands were being picked up, he was being lifted up, how God, how the precious Holy Spirit, how the hope of God's word wow. has picked me up so many times that I can't even count. And I am so grateful for that. And it's because of that, it compels me to want to do some of the things that I'm doing. You mentioned I've been coaching at a high school locally, a public school. Now, people think as a coach, I coach athletes, but my mission is even greater than that, and I understand that. I know sports like the back of my hand. I mean, I know it inside and out. And I tell the kids oftentimes, I've probably forgotten far more than I can ever teach you that you're willing to learn. But that's not my mission. My mission is to coach these young men as to how to become winners in life. That is my mission. That is my duty and responsibility. And I never take it for granted. If I'm on the campus for 2 minutes or if I'm on the campus for 2 hours, every moment I realize that I am to be there to be a witness for God, for Christ. Now, sometimes the light is a bit dim in the heat of circumstances and situations and so on and so forth. But when it's all said and done, my greatest desire is that it may be years later that someone would walk up to me on the street or whatever and they could say, I appreciate it, your witness. You gave me tough love. You made me do extra things that I didn't particularly like to do or want to do. But it's a team effort.
That's it.
And we want to have each person individually be the very best that God ever intended them to be. And that's where the coaching comes in. And I'm very privileged that I'm at a school that I have the opportunity to share my faith. And as I think it was St. Francis of Assisi said, whenever possible, you use words. So I'm just grateful to be a part of God's vineyard, and he chooses to use me, and oftentimes in spite of myself.
Well, you know, we have these the fivefold ministry, but we're really all coaches, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're not to really take over and exalt ourselves or authority or all these things. We really do coach people. You know, we can't make anyone do anything, but we are to direct them and help them and coach them. And I think when we look at it that way, it's the coach is really like a servant, you know? It's not like somebody who say, oh, well, that's the apostle, that's the prophet, that's the pastor. That's, you know, we're just all wanting to work. We're just all coaches. We're coaching souls, right? People.
We're coaching in the game of life.
And so I really appreciate that, because when you work with children, a lot of times you really don't get the praise, you know. It's what you feel and what your heart, and you, because you know you're really coaching souls, aren't you?
We are souls indeed.
Of life, you know.
You know, we had the big crosstown rival basketball the other last Friday, and I'm happy to say that God answered my prayer, and I'm sad to say that God didn't answer the other people's prayer because they lost, we won. But you know, on my coach's uniforms, I have Romans 8:37, and it says, "Destined to win."
To win.
And I've had so many comments. What does that mean? I know it's from the Bible, but what does it mean? And how God wants us to win in life, and He wants us to win for all of eternity. What a great privilege! What a great opportunity! You as pastors. Have that opportunity in a church setting. I have that opportunity in a high school, public high school setting. Have that opportunity at a nursing home. How we have that opportunity at the jails and the prisons and the highways and byways.
Wherever people are.
Wherever people are. What a privilege.
Pastor Jonathan?
God does not make any junk.
No, He doesn't.
And a lot of times my English isn't great. I just, I can't help but say, you know, God don't make junk. God just does not make junk. And so many times the work of the enemy through other people, through circumstances, the enemy's always going to try to paint a picture that there's an excuse for being far less than God's best in our life. But that's absolutely tremendous. Coach, great to hear you share your story. And it's great to know that God has placed us in different areas around our city, around the Treasure Coast, around the county, able to touch different people's lives in different ways. And Donna, both of you were talking about the working of a coach, and how we're not manipulating and not controlling.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is the one that actually tutors the spirit of the heart of man.
Amen.
But we're put in a place where God has gifted us so that we can often direct people toward God.
Right.
We can be a billboard for God. We can reflect what God is saying, and we can live what God is saying. And I know with the call that's on my heart in part to see the body of Christ lay aside the logos and all of the different barriers that would hinder us from lifting up Christ together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we lift Christ up individually, but at times, as you said, Donna, we don't always get thanks or praise or recognition for the work that we do. As a coach, a lot of times it's difficult to see that you're making ground. Now, you win a game, that's pretty awesome, because you can say, hey, we're making progress. You know, we're learning to move as a team, and that's really great. But I know in ministry, we do a lot of ministry, and we say, Lord, is anything being accomplished here? And yet, as I was just talking to different pastors and realizing how busy we are with our stuff,
mm-hmm.
with our responsibilities, with our personal churches, our leadership, our calendars, our resources, our agendas, and how the kingdom of God is bigger than that.
Amen.
Kingdom of God includes Tony Bishop. It includes Gene and Donna Hilton. It includes, thank God, I get to be a part of that as well. The kingdom of God is so much bigger. And the plan and purpose of God is for us to honor Him individually, but also together. And this whole aspect, I remember over the last few weeks, the Lord dealt with me, Donna, that it's not my job to sell.
That's true, yeah.
It is my job to live the life, show and tell, but it's not my job to sell. And the Holy Spirit was just dealing with me. Don't get caught up. Don't get frustrated. Don't become anxious. Don't try to make something happen that is not. Don't get in the flesh is really what God was saying. Don't get caught up don't make this a personal human thing, because what God wants to do in our lives and on the Treasure Coast, I believe, is to change the spiritual climate.
Definitely.
Give us a spiritual, I'm going to get back to what you said before, breakthrough. That there is a spiritual breakthrough, that the heavens are open over our region, that God is lifted up, that the kingdom of God advance, that we as leaders are more concerned about another success than our own.
Right.
In honor, preferring one another. There's a lot of one another's that we need to look at. Mm-hmm. But God has just spoken this and drilled this into my heart. Don't get frustrated when people do not seem to be receiving. Let me deal with them. Your job is to live the life and show it and tell it. And so, when God spoke to me, he said, don't get caught up in trying to manage the direction of people, connect hearts. And Donna, you're doing that today with this program. And I thank God for this opportunity to be here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was thinking a couple of scriptures came to my mind in John 12, where he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. And then we look at in Micah, and we also look in Matthew, where he talks about the fact that we cannot build the church.
Right.
He will build his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against us, against it. And it is so vitally important. Sadly, throughout Western civilization especially, we're so fragmented with so many different denominations and so many people wanting to flex their muscles, and they're wanting to build churches and beautiful churches. But if you're not building the hearts of men and women and boys and girls to have an understanding about eternity, about salvation, about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, all of your work is done in vain. And so I'm delighted whenever I run into people that are saying they just want to lift up the name of Amen. Jesus, because I want to be a part of that as well.
That's right. You know, and I just really love the Torah. And I always seem to go back to it. Some people have a problem with the Torah, and I don't know why, because there's so much that we can learn in the Torah. And even if we do read it, and you know, the Jewish people, they read it every year, and they have a certain portion they read every year called the Torah portions. And, you know, we've been doing that. And you think that, you know, if you've read it five times, six times, that you know, you've got it all. But you don't. Every time you read it again, you get another nugget out of it, and God shows you something that's even for this time. And I share also with the people that the Jewish people that we may bump into that may be reading the Torah, a lot of them don't, you know, because they're traditional Jews and they don't really, they're not Torah portion keepers. But if they do, and you have something to say that you've read, and because I've had them say to me, how do you know about that? You know, they get surprised. But I think this kind of goes along with what you're saying, and this is in this week's or last week's Torah portion. It's over in Exodus chapter 15, because God's telling them, see, they had come to a place where there was bitter water. Mm-hmm. And, well, there's a lot of bitter water in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes, indeed.
There's a lot of bitter water in the church, and we've all faced it and all. And so they came to a place where there was bitter water. But then, you know, then in verse 26, it says, God tells them, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your thy God. We want to hear from God. We want to hear what God wants for this county, for this Treasure Coast. And we'll do that which is right in his sight. See, God wants righteous people, righteous men and women. And we'll give ear to his commandments, to give ear and to keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. God brought all those things on the Egyptians so that the people would see his miracles and his signs and his wonders. And he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I love that song. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And then even also in this, I love all the songs, because, you know, that's when Miriam danced and she had her tambourette and the women danced and worshiped the Lord. And it says, and they came to, I don't know if it's you pronounce it, Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70, that's 70 palm trees. Palm trees represent righteousness, I think of what it says over in Psalm. I think it's Psalm 92, I believe. I'm not positive, where it talks about, you know, about the trees of righteousness. But here they encamped there, and it says they encamped there by the waters. Well, God wants to bring us into a spring where there's living water, where we can have the Holy Ghost is what you're saying, the Spirit of God leading us, not our, not your agenda, not my agenda, not this church, that church, but the gathering of these people coming around where this, the water, the, you know, the pure, the clean, the holiness of God, the righteous, those that are righteous, that are seeking truth, that we would come together, because they brought them a place. This was like a place of rest. And I think when we come together, we will have that Sabbath rest, because we won't be striving. God doesn't want us to strive anymore. You know, we've strived enough. We've tried to do things. It hasn't worked. God wants us to find that rest. And I believe it's like a Sabbath rest that we can have when we join together, like they did here, around the living water.
That rest, and what we know, is the breakthrough power of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
along with the Word, is the solution to the Hamans, to us today.
Mm.
And if I may go back to where you kind of started with that, many times in our families, I'm talking about the McLean family, my personal name, our family, I dealt with and have dealt with things that my father failed to deal with.
We all have, I think.
He did not resolve some of the strongholds that were in his family. They were part of his tradition. They were part of his family. And it was shocking to me going to my aunt's house and going, after she died, going through things that exposed the sins and strongholds that were in my family. And these were things that Satan would love to drag things up, the sins of the fathers. He would love to do that. But that healing place, the water, the living water, the power of the Spirit, the anointing of God that breaks the yoke, can break those Haman strongholds over our lives. They will keep rising up. And just as he did, because he was never dealt with.
That's right.
Was never dealt with. And it's difficult to deal with some of these demonic, satanic, wicked strongholds, because they are so difficult. They seem so huge. But because of that, still to this day, Israel is dealing with that.
That's right.
And in our family, Dad began to talk about how in his life he struggled with some of these strongholds that were in our family. And then as God began to deliver, and then my, as we as siblings were introduced to Christ young, so there was another generation, and now I have boys that we have, that we're raising up, and the life of the Spirit, the life, you know, people are listening today saying, what is this? What are you guys talking about? You know, you're out there listening saying, what is the church all about? It is about having a life that is free from destruction. It's about having a life that is free from sin and death.
Amen.
It's about having a life that is filled with the love of God. It's about having a life that transforms us from what we were, where we're mumbling, grumbling, complaining. Everything is bitter in our life. The solution is the love of God. And that breakthrough, Donna, we're together today. And there's a little salt and a little pepper in this room, Brother Bishop. And this is the way God wants it.
That's right.
Amen.
God is colorblind. Amen. We must be colorblind. And I want to just address this thing with racial division, religious division, political division, financial division, socioeconomic. I don't care if you think you're the smartest person in the world or the greatest pastor or you have the biggest whatever. Without Jesus in your life, your life is on a dead-end track. You
Amen.
Need to have a transformation.
Amen.
And we need to not be afraid to address these issues. The answer is forgiveness. In a marriage, if my wife doesn't forgive me, we would not be married 38 years. I'll tell you that right now. And forgiveness does something with the past, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We no longer dig it up. If I forgive you, I no longer dig it up. Doesn't mean that I'm God and I can forget it, but I don't have to dig it up again. And what I find out is Satan digs in our trash, and then he digs out Tony's trash, my garbage, his garbage, and you probably don't have any.
Oh, yeah, Donna. I do.
But Satan does this. Satan does this, and he brings this out and reminds us of why we shouldn't trust each other, why we shouldn't build the kingdom together, why we should not expect God to do something. So we retreat into our own little kingdoms, and we focus on our own little work, and we call it God's. But God has a bigger work for us.
Amen.
And absolutely what you're saying, God is able to turn that bitter water into water that is enjoyable.
Sweet.
And I'm believing God for a spiritual breakthrough in this year, at this season, at this time, that pastors will lay down their small agendas and take up God's call, just like John 17 says, that we would love God, we would love each other, we would love the lost, and that together the world would see that Jesus is Christ.
Amen. That's so true. That's so true. And you're talking about, really, you're talking about deliverance.
It is deliverance.
It's deliverance.
People, it is deliverance.
People call it, and people want deliverance. People call us, they say, do you do deliverance? I say, yeah, we do deliverance, but, you know, we don't just do deliverance on anyone who wants to come into the church, you know, because you have to know people.
Right.
And people have to really want deliverance, and they really want to have healing. They want to be set. People, and maybe you're listening out there, and you want to be set free for something, and you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried, and you're still not set free. Well, you know, we've learned by experience that you can minister to somebody.
Counsel. Sure.
For 100 hours, right? And never make a change. But when God does it, it can happen instantly. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. You can be delivered instantly from it. You know, but counseling is not always the answer. I mean, it's good to get good counsel and wise counsel and be amongst those. I mean, you're not going to go have somebody marriage counseling if you had two or three divorces or even one divorce, I would say. You know, go
sure.
to somebody who has a good marriage and strong marriage. But it's just like you. There's so many people out there that have called us, and I'm sure they've called you as well, Pastor Jonathan. They want healing. They want deliverance. But it's got to be God. It's got to be from the Holy Spirit. And having a heart to really change, a heart to really want that to want to change, and it allows the Holy Spirit to do it.
You know, one of the things you alluded to, Jesus' prayer in John 17.
Yes.
And boy, if we could understand, and I would encourage, I would challenge all of us to really take some time. Don't just read it for the sake of reading it, but pierce its words. John 17, where he says, Father, I pray that they would be one. As we are one. And you know, there are so many people that they have an intellectual understanding. Oh, yeah, I'm all for that. Except, let me get my agenda in. And as long as my agenda is complete,
right,
and I may have 10 or 12 things on my agenda. So
you agree with me and we can be one.
Right. But and so I have my 12 main things.
Sure.
And you have your 12 main things. The least important of your 12. Oh, yeah, we'll include that somewhere.
Right.
But the other thing that I wanted to say that you alluded to, you know, there are people out there, oftentimes they will look at you because of your halos and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And they would say, well, you're a minister and you have been involved in the ministry for so many. I admire you, but I can't be like that. I don't have that kind of faith. I would like to let you know, people, that faith is a journey and you don't get it all at once. And there will be times, I'm speaking to an audience of one perhaps, but there will be times in your life where you'll discover that your faith will be weak. It will cause you to be discouraged. And what happens is that when you start relying on what God says, not about what Pastor Jonathan may say about me or what you might say about me, or you know, if you say something good, of course, we love that. But if you say something in love that isn't so good, we don't really want to hear that. But understand that the God whom we talk about through the Son Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died for your sins and he died for my sins, and it was unconditional love that he gave for us.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So if you're one of those persons out there and you're saying, well, I can't be like them because I don't know enough and so on and so forth, the Bible says that if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed,
right,
and if you will just take God for his word, at his word, and if you will just say to him, Lord, if you cry out, If you will cry out to God, it's amazing. I can't explain how it happens because it doesn't always happen the same way. But God will come. He will meet you at the place of wherever you are. He will meet you wherever you are. So if you're looking for God, He's also waiting for you. So all you need to do is cry out to Him and in faith say, Lord, I receive you. I ask that you will forgive me for whatever sins that I may have. You may not even know all of your sins.
Sure.
You may think that you are a really good person. And you may think, and there are many people like that, I don't deserve this.
Right, right.
You know, this is unfair. Life isn't fair. And sometimes life isn't. But you know the old saying, life isn't fair, but God is good. And if you will just trust your life to Him, you will be amazed as to what God can do. And I encourage you, call Pastor Jonathan, call Pastor Gene and Donna, call someone who knows what we're talking about and be encouraged by that.
Tony, you said something really important, and that is people, you who are listening, all of us have experienced this, where by the Holy Spirit, we become aware that we're not able to manage our life.
Mm-hmm.
Our marriage may be out of control. Our finances may be out of control. Addictions may be devouring us. There's many thieves that come in to steal.
Yes.
But that in and of itself is the hand of God that is awakening us. I mean, if you're aware that you don't like the way your life is going, to continue in the same direction is insanity.
Yes.
You know, that's insanity, to expect different results in the new year and keep living the same way. And so the thief on the cross didn't even know a good Baptist prayer or any other kind of a prayer. He just said, remember me. And I know this, God meets us right where we are, just like you said, Tony.
Right.
And at that place, I mean, help me, Lord,
help
me, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, save me. You don't have to have any theology. You just need to reach out and believe in your heart. And God will take it. God will begin to guide you from there. Donna, in Matthew chapter 12, this is the passage where Jesus deals with this demon-possessed man.
Mm-hmm. All right.
A lot of people were talking about deliverance earlier and believing in deliverance. All deliverance is from the Lord.
That's Amen. Right.
None of us deliver. The deliverance is from the Lord. And many people don't even want to acknowledge that there's demons. They mm-hmm. don't want to acknowledge that there's heaven. They don't want to acknowledge, oh, yeah, well, maybe heaven, but not a hell. A lot of people, they don't believe in hell.
Right.
And what a deception. I mean, we have good and we have evil. Most people can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Matthew chapter 12, they brought this man, this demon-possessed man, who was blind and he was mute. Mm-hmm. And so this man, because of this demon possession, he's blind, he's mute, and Jesus healed him. He healed him. He delivered him. And so that he could both walk, he could both talk and see, and the people were amazed. What God has for your life, if you're listening today and you may say, my life is a disaster, what God has for you will amaze you. The enemy would love for you to stay in doubt, unbelief, judgments, questions. God has a plan for your life that is so absolutely awesome if you'll just come to him. But that's not the end of the story. The Pharisees were ticked off.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Because Jesus was not religious like they were. Because they were dead in religion. There was no life in them. And so they were ticked off about this. And they begin to say, oh, well, you know, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub.
That's
you
it.
Know, he is using Satan to cast out Satan himself. And this is because of the spiritual desert that was in their own life. They did not have the power of God. They did not have an operative faith. And Donna, this is the difference in your congregation. It's the difference in what, Tony, you are speaking about today. It is the living God. This is not religion we're talking about.
No,
we're talking about a living God who steps into our life, steps into our family, steps into our city, and changes the messes that we have made. And so they're ticked off. Religion gets upset because religion cannot change anything. But God is the one who changes, and he's going to get the glory for it. And, of course, we come to this passage where Jesus talks about the kingdom. A kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom or a house divided against itself cannot stand. And as we meet here today, God is doing something.
Thank you, Lord.
God is doing something today. There's a marriage.
Thank you, Lord.
Someone is saying, man, I wish I could have another opportunity. There's someone that may be in a prison that's listening to this radio program. And from the Torah, we're looking at Israel that struggled. They literally struggled with God's goodness.
Yes, they did.
They struggled because they still, you talked about this last week, maybe the week before. They had the luggage from Egypt in their heart. They were physically free, but their mind was not free. And their spirit was not fully free. And God was wanting to deliver them. God had everything for them as he's taking them to his promised land. And someone is listening today. And you're just saying, wow, I wonder if God has that kind of a life for me. God has that kind of life for you. And for this community, I live in the Treasure Coast. I'm a native. I tell people I'm a gator bite. I was born in raised in a swamp and came to this side of the coast of Florida. Donna, what God has for the Treasure Coast, if you're a Christian and you're in business, God wants to bless you, give you wisdom, give you favor. He wants the body of Christ to know who you are so we can support you. If you are a business person and you do not know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, God is in charge of all the wealth, and God will bless you. God can bless your business. God can heal your business. If you're a doctor today, for some reason, we go for healing in all the wrong places a lot of times.
Wow.
Thank God for doctors.
Right.
But when it comes to a lot of healing that's needed in the mind, that's needed in the emotions, that's needed in the body, it's spiritual many times.
That's right.
And we need to go to Jesus. And listen, the Word of God tells us the story, but the power of God is in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so I'll tell you, I'm so excited to be here today.
Sure.
I can hardly sit in this seat because I know what God wants to do. God wants to bind the strong man
over
the Treasure Coast of Florida. The
Whoa.
Principalities, the powers, the rulers that are in
That's
high
right.
places. This is not a Baptist thing, a Methodist thing, a Pentecostal thing, a Presbyterian thing. This is a God thing. And Tony, if any of those things are in my way, or in your way, we need to lay them down and lift up Jesus today.
Amen.
And
Amen.
This is what I pray for. This is why we as pastors are coming together as a coalition of brothers. I'll just say like we used to sing when I was a kid, red, yellow, black, and white. Red, yellow, black, and white. Let's get rid of our divisions. And I want to address the pride in the church. I was as proud and arrogant, and as I had a spiritual elitism that hindered the work of God. And in the body of Christ, we need to get over ourselves. Thinking we're so important. Man,
yes.
I've got the church. I've got the plans. We're going to do this. No, if anything is going to be done that has eternal value, it's going to be God. And we need to give the glory of God today and say, listen, whether I get along with the other brothers in town or not, instead of charging them, blaming them, dividing myself, I need to repent. Donna, there's some pastors in this city today that are like Paul. They're full of religion and full of baloney. They need to get over their baloney. They need a spiritual awakening. And I know because I was there, I was blind as a bat, dumb as a rock, and just did not know what was going on. But God wants us as spiritual leaders and as the body of Christ to get over our own stuff.
Amen.
We need to get over racial division.
Yes,
Amen.
We do.
You know what? We need to
Absolutely.
Quit digging in that garbage. I hate it.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
Amen.
But you know what? I hate who I was before I met Jesus. And the Word of God says that God chooses to put my sins as far as the east is from
That's
the west.
Right. Amen. That's right.
And listen, Hallelujah. America has sins. This city has sins. I have sins. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, I want to give a quick shout out to a friend. I won't say his last name so as to not to embarrass him, but he knows who he is. He calls himself Humble Harold. Now, we love titles, but think about that. You are giving yourself the title.
Title of Humbled Harold.
Humble Harold. And he is one who truly lives up to that title.
Wow, that's awesome.
And most of us who have the various titles, I hope that I have many titles, but I hope that I'm living up to the titles that I have as a coach. Representing
didn't you just win
I won
but that doesn't represent
no right. I mean on your shirt
yes
on your shirt
yes
destined to win
right but I want to win for his glory
for the Amen. Glory of God
Amen.
And there requires humility
that's Amen. Right
you have Amen. To learn how to win with humility you have to learn how to lose with humility. But what I wanted to say is that there are people that in my sphere of influence, people that I mingle with all the time on the highways and the byways up and down the Treasure Coast and throughout the land, sadly, many have bought the lie of the enemy.
That's it.
To believe that their titles is what make them significant.
That's their identity.
That's so true.
That's the identity.
They hide in that shell.
And where is our identity to be, though? In Christ.
And I have to admit, I've been there, and I hope that I'm getting out of that. I hope that I'm no longer there. But in the book of James, it says that if we will humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord,
right,
He will lift us up.
Amen.
And in due season. And you know, there are people that are struggling in their businesses, in their ministries, or in their family lives, and so on and so forth. If we will just learn to humble ourselves before God.
That's it.
Wow.
Be like Moses was, what, the most humble man, doesn't it say?
Yes, he was.
I want to mention here that you were in Matthew chapter 12. In verse 30 it says, and I think we can apply this for today, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We want, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And you also talked about the Spirit of God. Well, we know the Spirit of God hovers over all the earth, but we have the Holy Ghost in us so that we can be led by the Spirit of God, by the Ghost, the Holy Ghost that's in us. It says in verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. You said as far as the east is from the west, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Well, if we are coming against what? The gathering together and the oneness, and we're really coming against what the Holy Ghost is wanting to do in each and every one of us, because we host God. And so, as the King James says, the Holy Ghost, we have this power that within us to be able to follow and to be led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's within us. But if we come against what God is wanting to do, what are we doing?
Yeah,
it's blasphemy.
Right. So
that's a pretty heavy word.
So my struggle that I have to recalibrate my thinking according to what you just said, well, you're white, I'm black, you're from the Assemblies of God Church, and you're from, you know, and we're different. So I'm saying I'm with Jesus, but I can't go with, you know, because, you know, you people, you do things a little differently and your folks do. Then I'm really not with him.
It's the spirit of religion. Like, I can't exactly. I can't have communion unless I'm in your church.
So right. We need to maintain.
People come to our churches, you know.
This is why we have to get together and pray.
Amen.
Yes.
I have found that in worship, we can go to a concert and the body of Christ can celebrate together and enjoy the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to a wedding and enjoy the presence of God.
Right. Amen.
We can go to a funeral and enjoy the presence of God. But we have a problem when it comes to coming together with all of our different doctrines and understanding. In John 17, this is something that rocked my boat. John 17, back, you were speaking from there earlier. I was as well.
17 what
verse? John chapter 17, verse 7. John
17. We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.